Well, my name is Pastor Michelle. You guys are like, who is that lady hijacking the service? Don't worry, it's Pastor Richard's wife, so he let me, okay? Woo! I love church. Are you guys glad to be here tonight? I am so glad to be here. And it was a beautiful day today. Well, we are right in the middle of a really cool series. If you've never been to the Rock Youth before, then you are in for a treat because we are in week two of a series called Amnesia. And so our drama team has made up this really cool video, kind of a story. So I'm not going to go into it. I'm just going to let you guys watch it. So let's dim the lights and let's watch part three of Amnesia.
Previously on Amnesia.
Who are you?
I don't know.
Why were you at the house?
I don't know.
Found an ID card.
My name is Kyle.
What do you mean? You don't remember? Well, you know, we called some people that were there. And they know you. And some interesting things came up. They said you were pretty wild that night. And after a long night of drinking, you got pretty mad. Someone is responsible for what happened. You know, it's pretty amazing what you find on the internet these days.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Tell me. Just anything to jog a memory.
We found your profile. And, 10th grade. You like soccer. And you're in a relationship with this young lady named, Jennifer Goodwin.
Jennifer?
You know what it also says? It says you're a Christian. A Christian? That takes some pretty strong beliefs. A little bit of faith.
Yeah. Yeah, I think I went to church.
Yeah, that's what it says here. Just about every Sunday and Wednesday.
Yeah, that sounds about right.
Mm-hmm.
Was Jennifer there too?
I think so. But I don't think this is you. Because, you see, there's some interesting things here. There's some interesting photos tagged here of you in some pretty non-Christian-like places. And you also say some pretty interesting things that kind of make me a little confused. I mean, how could you say things like this and consider yourself a Christian?
No. I was a Christian, I'm sure of it.
Oh, really? Would you like for me to recall the nasty comments on the girls' photos? Or the statuses you liked, or the gossip and the bullying you wrote on another kid's wall. Especially this kid here, Devin. Does the name Devin sound familiar to you?
Devin? What did I say?
Well, do you really want to know? I mean, it wasn't just you, though. It was a group of guys. But you said some pretty awful things.
No, that's not me.
Oh, yeah, oh, yeah, oh, yeah. I don't think. If I ever see you near her, I will bash your face. No one cares about you. I wish you would just die.
No, this can't be me, okay? I'm not that. Wait. I remember.
Intense. Next week, we'll find out what did he remember.
Ooh.
So, we're talking about amnesia, and if you guys aren't familiar with what amnesia is, it's basically memory loss. It's a condition where you lose your memory, and I was kind of researching it, and it says, memory appears to be stored in several parts of the limbic system of the brain. And any condition that interferes with the function of the system can cause amnesia. So anything that interferes with that. You know, this whole month, we're talking about remembering who you are. God has designed you for something. God has designed every freckle on your face. Isn't that funny? The way you hold your pencil, if you're right-handed or left-handed. The color of your hair. The birthmarks that you have. I mean, God has designed you. God has designed you with your talents, with what you're good at, and even with what you're not good at. Maybe you weren't given a certain talent and you're really bummed about that. Like, I can't skateboard. Shucks. You know, I really want to be a skateboarder. But everybody's designed a different way. And also, we've been designed by God. You see, the world is trying to get that out of you. The world is trying to make you forget. And last service, Pastor Richard preached on your name. Don't forget your name. What is your name? Well, I'm going to preach on where are you? Where are you? Are you lost? Are you following God? Where are you at with God? And you know, we can tell a lot where somebody is at by maybe the way they dress, the accent that they have, maybe the traditions that they hold. You know, we were at Barnes & Noble's the other day. We love to go to Barnes & Noble's, and my kids like to play with the trains and the toy thing. We don't read books. We don't go to Barnes & Noble's for books. We go to Barnes & Noble's to play with Thomas the Train, okay? And so there's this lady there, and she was an older woman, and she was from Pakistan. And so she had on her beautiful, like, gown, you know, the drapey things that they wear. I mean, she looked awesome. She was like, I think she was with her grandkid. And she started talking to her grandkid, who was about like 3 years old, and she started talking in Urdu, okay? Urdu is the language that they speak. So Bella, my daughter, she started listening to her, you know, speak Urdu to her grandson. And Bella turns to this lady, right, this Pakistani lady, and she says, oh, I speak Spanish. Like, just like goes off, right? I'm like, whoa. Okay, and I had to tell her, Bella, not, you know, there's different people from around the world. They don't all speak Spanish. Like Dora the Explorer, okay? But, I mean, everybody from different parts of the world, you know where they're from. Like Southern California, how many of you guys grew up in SoCal? Like this, you're from SoCal, all right? Anybody not grow up in Southern California, you're maybe from somewhere else. Okay, and so we talk really fast, like turbo fast. And, you know, we kind of probably a little bit more high-pitched. You know, if you go to the South, people talk real slow, real slow. I mean, even in Northern California, I just went to Northern California. Everybody's just slow there. I'm like, come on, people, we got to go somewhere. We got to go do something. They're like, why? We're in the forest. You know, we're forest people. Let's just chill out. Okay? I mean, they're just totally relaxed. Where here, we're like super high strung. In fact, around the world, there's just like different traditions. I want to show you a couple pictures. Let's show the first one. Do we have them? Did you get them? Okay. Okay, this is in Germany. This is a tradition called Polterabend, okay? Everybody say Polterabend. This is when a husband and wife, they're going to get married, but before they get married, they invite everybody over for a party, and they break plates, vases, toilet bowls, anything that's glass and that will break besides mirrors, they break it. That is the party. And it is to remind you that when you get married, there's going to be hard times. I don't know if they like throw plates at each other. I'm not too sure about all that. But then the husband and wife have to clean it up. So that sounds like an awful party. All right, the second one. Go to the next one. This is called the Monkey Buffet Festival. Now, you don't eat monkey. Actually, the buffet is for the monkeys. They invite the monkeys. I don't know if it's via text message, an invitation. I don't know how the monkeys know to come, but the monkeys do, okay? And that's in Bangkok, so they have, like, all this fruit and stuff for the monkeys. Actually, it looks like only 5 of them showed up, so that sounds like an awful party. Okay, number 3. The next one, this is called... Now, you guys think this is photo booth, right? These are people's real faces. I'm not joking, okay? This is called gurning. This is a contest in England where you try to make the most ugliest face that you can. And in fact, the four-year winner is one of these guys, and he actually got his teeth removed. That's insane. Like, you're psycho, okay? But just so that he can win this festival. And then the last one, number 4, it's called Blackening the Bride, and it's in Scotland. And they throw oil on her. They feather her. They, like, basically haze her before she gets married. They might as well shave her bald for a wedding. I don't know what they do, but I'm like, oh, my gosh, I love America. Okay, but, I mean, different people from where you are at, where you're from, you hold different traditions. Like, you guys, maybe you guys are from, you know, you have cultures maybe from Mexico or from, I don't know, Canada. You love maple syrup. I don't know. Okay? But everybody has different traditions from different places. But my question to you tonight is that where are you going with God? Where are you going with God? Don't forget where you're going and don't forget where you're from. God has created you. God has designed you. Now, your mama and your daddy made you, all right? And maybe you were surprised. I know some of you guys just got shocked. You're like, oh, I didn't know this was going to be rated R. Okay, but just move past that, okay? But God has designed you. God knew that you were going to be here. He knew the talents that you were going to have. And just like I was saying, this world is so demonically influenced. You may say, oh, Pastor Michelle, you're just, you know, you're just, you know, paranoid. No, I'm not. I want to show you in John chapter 8, verse number 44. And it says, you are the father of the devil. Or you are of your father, the devil, and the desires of your father you want to do. He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth because there is no truth in him. When he speaks a lie, he speaks from his own resources, for he is a liar and the father of it. You see, Satan is on this planet influencing different people. And if you missed the last award show or you saw it, then you definitely saw somebody who was influenced by the devil himself. You know, Nicki Minaj, I'm going to just go there for a second. Nicki Minaj was designed by God. She was given talents to create music, to create crazy outfits, all right, that I don't understand. I'm almost going to be 30 and I don't get them at all, okay? But other people do. She's been given this talent. And here comes Satan with his lies that to where she, and if I might be mistaken, but I think in a report she said that that's like one of her demons that she like just kind of just like, wow, I'm just going to show everybody. And to think that she's bought into such a lie that she could be in communion and act like a demon and act and let that possess her body, which is basically what she did. There's a lie and there's definitely an influence in this world. There's an influence in this world that's making you doubt God. There's an influence in this world that's making you doubt his existence, doubt his truth. Is the Bible real? And so you've got to know where you're from, that God's created you. But then you also need to know where are you going. You know, you and I were designed for eternity in mind. You know, many of us think, well, we are, you know, a body with a soul. We have a soul inside of us. No, you are a soul with a body. There's something inside of you that's going to live forever, and that is your soul. God has designed eternity even from the beginning. With Adam and Eve. Do you remember way back in Genesis, in the beginning, they would hang out with God. Excuse me. They would hang out with God. They would talk with him. They would walk in the garden with him. And then sin came in, and then came death. But the whole time, God was planning to hang out with us for eternity. I mean, that's pretty cool. And so to make sure that you had a chance to go to heaven, he sent Jesus Christ to die on the cross for you. You need to have eternity in your mind. Where are you going? Heaven or hell? And we already took care of that. But see, every day we need to be reminded. Every day we need to be reminded and not get lost. Because sometimes, I don't know about you, but as we're going towards heaven, going towards God, sometimes we can make a wrong turn. We can get lost. You know, if my husband was going to Starbucks, which he does. Anybody like Starbucks in here? What's your guys' favorite drink? A lot of Frappuccinos in here. Are there really any espresso lovers? Straight espresso. Sal? Really? Wow. But to find out where you got lost, you need to know where you started and where you're going. So if my husband left our house and said, I'm going to Starbucks, and he calls me and says, Michelle, I'm lost. And I would start from our house, and I would think, okay, he either went down San Bernardino Avenue or he went down Ligonia, all right? And there's like 13 Starbucks by us, so I got to figure out which one he was going to, okay? And so you have to figure out where you're from and where you're going. And if you get lost, you need to get back on track. Because the world is not going to help you. Only God is going to help you. How many of you guys have seen the movie Hook? It's like old school, right? Do you remember that part when they're like, run home, Jack? Do you remember that? And they're like, run home, Jack. Run home, Jack. And it was like for a moment he was like, oh yeah, I'm lost. I'm supposed to go home. Can I get a cup of water? Sorry, I never do this. You know why? If you guys ever want to be preachers when you grow up, you can't stop preaching or else you like, it messes up your throat. Thank you, London. Okay. But then it begins to say, home run, Jack, right? So they can throw them back to getting lost and not think about home. The world is never going to remind you about heaven, but God will. And that's why it's so important to be in church. So I want to tell you guys 3 points to not get lost. You must remember 3 things. Really simple stuff. Number one is you need to connect with God. Turn to Psalms 139. And we're going to start off in verse number 1. And we're going to go through this because this whole chapter is a song. And it's written by King David. And this song is written about his relationship with God from the beginning to the end. And it's really an exciting song. But number one way not to get lost is you need to connect with God. Psalms 139, verse number 1. It says, O Lord, you've searched me and know me. You know my sitting down and you know my rising up. You understand my thought afar off and you comprehend my path and my lying down. And are acquainted with all my ways. For there is not a word on my tongue, but behold, O Lord, you know it altogether. You've hedged me behind and before. You've laid your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high. I cannot attain it. Where can I go from your spirit? Or where can I flee from your presence? If I ascend into heaven, you are there. If I make my bed in hell or the underworld, if you die or pass away, behold, you are there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there your hand shall lead me and your right hand shall hold me. If I say, surely the darkness shall fall on me, even the night shall be light about me. Indeed, the darkness shall not hide from you, but the darkness shines as day. The darkness and the light are both alike to you. Those verses show a connection with God. If you don't want to get lost, if you want to keep on track, if you don't want to forget who you are and get amnesia, you need to be connected with God. There needs to be a connection. And a connection doesn't happen just by coming to church once in a while. A connection just doesn't happen just like thinking about God. But it's talking to God. You know, people get all crazy and say, well, nowhere in the Bible does it say, you know, you have to have a personal relationship with Jesus. It says it right there. You know me, God. And I know your presence. They're so tightly knit together. If you want to do good in life, if you don't want to let other people influence you, if you don't want to end up like Nicki Minaj, can I get an amen? Amen. That was good, church. Good job. Then you need to stay connected. You can't let everything influence you when you're connected with God. Have you ever dated somebody and you're like, they just get me? They just get me. For me. Okay? That's how these scriptures are. God just gets you. You know me, God. Everything about me. You comprehend my path and my laying down. You are acquainted with all my ways. I mean, it's beautiful. It really is beautiful. And there's nothing in this world that is going to tell you about that except when you come into the house of God and someone teaches you about it or you surround yourself with Christian friends, right? Because I don't see ABC Family telling you about it. You cannot forget about it. You need to know your word. You need to read your scriptures. You see, we are spiritual people. Human beings are designed to long after something spiritual. That's why this Twilight stuff is like so amazing. Like people are like, yeah, because it's spiritual. When I go to Barnes & Noble's to play with the trains, I often walk through the teenage section, and it's all spiritual stuff, all of it. Do we have any readers? Any, like, you guys love reading. You're just like, yeah, bookworms for life. Okay, just read Hunger Games 1. Oh, my gosh. Anyways, that'll be another message. But we're spiritual people. You long after a connection with God. Even if you try to push it out of your life, you can't. Even if you try to ignore it, you can't. Because anything spiritual often becomes attractive. And that's what happens to people. You know, maybe they worship the devil. Maybe they think they're involved in white magic, which is really just black magic, okay? I mean, it's because we long after that. You need to be connected with God. At worship, when we stand up here, the presence of God was so thick tonight that I actually went on my knees. Because I am connected with God. You can feel that when you are in His presence. Number two way not to get lost is you need to go where God goes. Let's move on and let's read the rest of these scriptures. It says in, let's see. Verse number 7, where can I go from your spirit, or where can I flee from your presence? If I ascend into heaven, you are there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, you are there. If I take the wings in the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there your hands shall lead me. Your right hand shall hold me. If I say, surely the darkness shall fall on me, even the night shall be the light about me. Indeed, the darkness shall not hide from you. But night shines as day, and the darkness and the light are both alike to you. Wherever God goes, I want to go. Because that's where His presence is at. If this generation could get a hold of seeking the presence of God, it will change your life and the world around you. Always seek after the presence of God. Always look at it. You know, David had a heart after God. And David went wherever God went. And that's why he was able to have this tight connection with Him. It's like you remember in the scriptures when people would be thrown in jail and they'd be singing hymns and they'd be singing songs. Why? Because it didn't matter what circumstance they were in, they carried the presence of God with them. It's like when Jesus was on that cross and He forgave the people that whipped Him, that beat Him, that nailed those nails into His hands, that hung Him on that cross, that spit at Him. And how could He ever forgive somebody like that? It's because He was in the presence of God. If you want to get through hard times and not lose yourself and not lose God, you need to stay in His presence. Stay in His presence. No matter what your circumstances. See, we think the presence of God is only when we're happy and excited. And good things are happening. But you know what's amazing? Is when you see people who are going through hell. And they still praise God. I had a friend. She went through breast cancer. She had to have a double mastectomy. Which means she had to lose her breast. She lost her hair. She had to shave her head. She was in church as much as she could be in church. And now she is healed and she is whole because she stayed in the presence of God when she went through chemo. When she couldn't even eat a cracker because there are so many drugs inside of her from the chemo. She still said, you know what, God is my Savior. Jesus is my strength. And see, when you stay in God's presence, even though it may be tough, in the middle of a divorce, in the middle of a breakup, in the middle of when your friend stabs you in the back, stay in God's presence and you won't lose yourself. You won't lose yourself. You see, decisions set a direction. Your decisions will set your direction, and you have to keep eternity in mind when you make decisions. Because when you keep eternity in mind, then you won't date that ridiculous person. Then you won't give in to some whatever. Drinking, partying, whatever. Because you keep eternity in mind. Because you want to be where the presence of God is. You want to stay with him. I do not go and see certain movies. I don't. Because I know the presence of God is not there. And I want to go where God goes. Now, I'm not a huge advocate where I'm like, yeah, it's all about Christian music and no secular music, okay? There's some people who are really into that. I'm saying wherever God is, that's where I'm going to go. And most of the time, God is not in the songs about the big booty hoochies, okay? Right? Amen? So this isn't a debate on whether you should have to listen to Air One. Because even some of those songs depress me. Some of them are like, God, can we just praise Jesus? Okay? But you need to go wherever God is and stay in his presence. Number three, the last one, is it's all in here. And I want our ushers to pass out real quickly. Is I made you guys something. I'm so nice. No, it's not cookies. Okay. So, ushers, if we could real quickly pass out. Everyone's going to get an acorn. I didn't make the acorn. But I did make you guys a keychain. All right? And while they're passing these out, we got to go real fast because we're running out of time. But I'm going to read you Psalms 139, verse number 13. Check this out. Listen up. Pay attention. For you formed my inward parts, and you covered me in my mother's womb. Covered is kind of an interesting thing. You know what it's talking about? It's talking about, actually, God, you designed my bones and my veins, and you covered these bones with flesh. And with it actually talks about your veins and stuff. I mean, it's kind of a crazy thing. It says, you covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are your works, and that my soul knows very well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in secret and skillfully wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. Which means when you were growing in your mommy's tummy, okay? That's what it's basically talking about. And in your book, they were all written. The days fashioned for me, when as yet there were none of them. How precious also are your thoughts to me, O God. How great are the sums of them. If I should count them, they would be more in number than the sand. When I awake, I am still with you. This is a love song written about you. How great are the thoughts of God towards you. They are like the sand on the beach, you guys. God is not in heaven ready to beat you with a baseball bat and send you to hell. He is a God who has open arms, thinking about you, praying that you come to him, praying that you stay with him, interceding for you. He is a God who has his hand covering you in every situation of your life. He cares about you and he loves you. Now, everybody has their acorn, yeah? No? Come on, ushers, we got to go turbo. Oh, there's not enough of them? Okay, give them, there should be at least acorns. There should be extra acorns. But I want you guys to do this. I want you to hold up your acorn right now. Look at it. Like, hold it up to your eye. Inside of this is a tree trunk that is about 4 feet wide. And it's a tree that extends into the sky that's like 50 feet high. And it has limbs and there's leaves and there's even baby acorns inside of this little seed. To not get lost and forget who you are, you've got to remember that it's all inside. Just like this seed, there's you. There's your body. There's your makeup. And everything inside of you, everything that you want to be, is inside of you. You have the ability to do what God has called you to do. It's all in there. You don't need to worry about it. You don't need to flip out about it. You don't need to freak out about it. God has designed you in such a way that whether you're going to be an athlete, a doctor, a stay-at-home mom, a baker, whatever it is, it's all inside. Everybody say, it's all inside. It's all there. Let's read the scripture again. It says, for I will praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are your works. Now that's some confidence. When's the last time you looked in the mirror and said, I am wonderfully made. Marvelous, marvelous, Lord, are your works. When's the last time you said that? Because it's all inside. You don't need to necessarily have confidence in you, but you need to have confidence in the God who made you. And if God's called you to do it, he's going to make a way for you to get there. It's all inside to stay pure till marriage. It's all inside to live up to God's standards. It's all inside to get A's. It's all inside to make it. Now, what does an acorn need to be an oak tree? It needs what? Water, soil, sunlight. These acorns did not get that. In fact, I just punctured them and put them on a string for you. They didn't make it. They didn't get the sunlight, the soil, and the water. And because there are some people, and maybe you feel like that, you say, Pastor Michelle, I want to be so much. But I don't get the encouragement. My parents don't care if I go to school, so I don't think I'm going to college. You know, maybe you feel like you're kind of left out because maybe you only have one parent raising you. And that parent works so hard to get food on the table and clothes on your back that you don't really see them. And you feel like, Pastor Michelle, I'm not getting what I need in order to make it. Pastor Michelle, I've already messed up. I mean, I've made so many mess ups. I'm such a fake with God. I don't even know I'm here tonight. And you're saying, I'm never going to be the full potential of what God has for me. Listen up. God is a miracle God. And I don't care how many mistakes you've made, or if you're not in the right neighborhood with the right income, with the right clothes and the right school and all that other stuff. You know what? God is the God of miracles. And he can take anything, any seed that is willing to grow, God will help it grow. But you got to be available for the water, the sunlight, and the soil. You've got to be planted in the house of God. You've got to be growing in his word. You've got to be watered by his Holy Spirit. And he will grow you. I guarantee you that. I guarantee you that. Everybody say, it's all inside. Now, I want to just say this last thing, because church is out. Many people who are acorns, there's a lot of people, they want to be orange seeds. They don't want to be an oak tree. They want to be an orange tree. And I want to just leave you with this, because sometimes we blame God because we didn't win American Idol. Because you got, you know, maybe you feel like you should be able to sing, and then Paula Abdul kicked you off, you know, like 3 years ago. All right. You know, you need to find out what God wants you to do. Stay in his presence. Be connected with him. Go where God goes. Don't dream about being an orange tree when God's called you to be an oak tree. Be who you are and don't try to be anybody else. All right. So did you guys get something out of that?